I'd like to welcome everybody to the City Council meeting Monday, October 12, 2015, at 7 p.m. First line of business is roll call, Mr. Stahl.
Mike Wheeler.
Present.
Richard Adams.
Present.
Rick Moses.
Present.
Nancy Snell.
Present.
Earl McCowan.
Present.
David Jennings.
Present.
Have a forum.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Item 2.0, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Moving on to item 3.0, special presentation, 3.1, Economic Alliance Support Region. Mr. Burke is here to go over the council and the citizens, give him a short presentation. After he's through, I will allow citizens to ask any questions they'd like to ask. Mr. Burke.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate the opportunity to provide an annual report for the city. I do want to start off by saying this is the 30th anniversary of the organization. It was created back in 1985. I'll talk a little bit about that. Our mission hasn't really changed. Still is to very simple and straightforward to grow the economy. Shore Acres is one of 12 cities that make up the Economic Alliance. We also have half dozen or so unincorporated areas that are represented by the by their chambers of commerce and their membership as well. Also includes, as I remember, it mentioned, several chambers of commerce, 11 in total, San Jacinto College, Lee Community College, U of H, Clear Lake, Texas Southern. All of our school districts in the area we work with through our workforce development program, and I'll touch on that just a little bit. And now a little over 230 private member companies, as well as Harris County and the Port of Houston Authority. All of our members and cities are encouraged and do participate throughout these different committees and task forces to help work on that economic development. And we'll talk about these, whether it's new business development, actually recruiting companies to the region, the public policy task force, business growth, which is a business-to-business networking committee, our workforce development, which I'll go into in a little bit, our mayor's advisory group, our quality of life task force, and our transportation task force. Just a few facts and figures. Most folks know this. It's the largest petrochemical complex in the country. Once the expansion over the next 5 to 10 years is completed, should surpass Rotterdam. They're not expanding right now. A lot of capital investment going on in our petrochemical industry right now. Number two total port in the country, over 8,000 vessel movements per year, the large ship movements, a couple thousand, 200,000 barge movements. And the impact is a little over 1 million jobs throughout the state. You can see the economic impact that the region has. Again, still really driving the economy, which has been for the last 4 years now, is the expansion in the petrochemical industry, which comes from the new, the low cost and ample supply of natural gas from the American Chemical Council. A little over 200 projects that are shale related, that are strictly chemical industry related, about $133 billion. A lot of that. Almost all that along the Gulf Coast, and as one of the biggest complexes, we get a very good share of that. We'll talk a little bit about that. Our business development projects, currently we're tracking around 25 projects, totaling about $2.7 billion in capital investment if they were to all hit at once. It's kind of our funnel as we work on projects. Last year we had 5 wins, 225 jobs and $1.7 billion in capital. Again, these are really large numbers due to what's happening in the petrochemical industry. Before the price of natural gas dropped, we were seeing numbers that averaged about $100 million a year. So these numbers are really inflated. And as you can see, even through this year, another almost $500 million in capital investment. Eventually, that new announcement of all those large projects, we've already kind of seen a tapering off of that. as most of them have been announced and are under construction right now. All of that new construction combined with the age of our workforce has created significant skill shortages, workforce shortages in our port region, not just inside the fences of the plants, but on the water, the logistics, the maritime side as well. Our Workforce Development Committee has been working for the last couple of years to try and help address that issue and introduce these careers that are pretty high-paying careers to more students at the high school level. Number two of the objectives that the committee created is really a speakers bureau that goes out to the high schools. We'll talk a little bit about that. We also partnered with the National Manufacturing Institute this year to create Southeast Texas Dream and Do It. Dallas had one, San Antonio had one, but Houston did not have an organization from the Dream and Do It program. And so we partnered with them to create that. And again, it folds right on top of what we're doing, which is marketing all the jobs that we have here to high school students and provide some kind of national backing and promotion for that. These are the four sectors that we're targeting: logistics, manufacturing, construction, and then maritime. And each of these are little trifolds that have kind of lists of the different careers, what it takes to get those careers, the salaries that you can make in those careers. So we pass these out to the students and teachers and counselors on a fairly regular basis. These are just some of the shots of some of the programs that we were able to hit this last year. Next is public policy. Back up one. The 2015 was a state legislative year, so we spent quite a bit of time working for our cities and companies up in Austin. We also had a wrap-up session June 24th where we heard from all of our state legislators and senators on what they felt were was accomplished. And then we also, in April, conducted a trip to D.C. with several of our members as well. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. So in April, we took over 20 people to D.C. that kind of represented a cross-section of who all we were. You can see several of the cities were represented, the industry, the Port of Houston, several small businesses as well. As well as our community colleges were both there with us. But we held over 20 meetings across 2.5 days, specifically targeting those issues that this region needed representation on. We talked to all of the Houston delegation. We talked to the Corps of Engineers, Department of Labor, Vice President staff, all those ones that we really needed to hit to, so that they could hear what we needed here in this region. Our transportation task force has really ramped up this year. With all the growth in the industry, they're expecting up to twice as many trucks on the road, which our infrastructure is really not prepared for yet. So after hearing from the mayors, from the Port Authority, from our industry, we could help facilitate this group, which is really chaired by those folks. And what they've done is identify all of the existing projects that are on the books and going to be funded, and then identified another 4 to 6 projects that they felt were really critical for this region, and they're working that through the process with the Transportation Policy Committee and trying to basically raise the level of priority for our region. Because so many trucks are on the road in this region, so much of the economy is driven by what happens in this region, and as a whole, Greater Houston, we on the east side of town don't get as much representation, so that's one of the goals of this group, is to really raise the priority of the projects on this side of town to help with mobility, not just truck mobility, but truck and commuter mobility, as represented by the mayors on this committee. Quality of life, Shore Acres is one of 10 regional gateway projects. I think the 10th of those 10 projects is being worked on right now, and Galena Park is the last city. Again, partnering with the industry to showcase the epic art, the state logos and stars. The last set of stars were painted on the new flyover coming out of Port Road onto 146 just over the last few months. And then we also have a historic district website that really highlights all of the amenities throughout the city. Again, I was trying to keep this very brief, under 10 minutes. I did want to highlight again, it's the 30th anniversary, and earlier this year we invited our board and the mayors of the region to come out and in Commissioner Mormon's partnership park there in Pasadena. We planted 30 new trees to celebrate 30 years, and that went off really well. And we're also celebrating that we did a little bit with the Petrochemical Maritime Outlook Conference this year, highlighted that, and then our which will happen on November the 12th. Again, we'll be highlighting all of the former chairmen from the last 30 years that are still with us for the Economic Alliance. We encourage you all to all come to that if you can. That's going to be down at Sylvan Beach Pavilion this year. Again, that's our mission. We really try and stay right in that mission. It's a pleasure to have Shore Acres as one of those 12 cities that we represent. And hope to continue to serve y'all throughout the region and give y'all's voice some sounding board and some representation throughout the region.
So. Hey, Mr. Berger, I'm going to let the council go first. I'll start now with Paul Jennings out that end. He has a question for you.
This in? Yes, sir. Mr. Burke, you mentioned $178 billion economic impact. What percent of the Texas economy was that?
That's a report that study came from the Port of Houston Authority.
Can you tell us more about the Dream It Do It?
Sure.
How that affects our citizens?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good program. And if you saw our three objectives were one to partner or identify and work together with all the good workforce initiative that are out there. And there's a lot of different people trying to do a lot of good things to make sure that people are aware of and can get to these high-paying jobs. And our second objective was to get the word out, really the marketing arm of that. And then the third one is to communicate from industry, the guys with the jobs, to all of the schools, the colleges and the high schools, to make sure that they know exactly what they're trying to train people for. So there's not a disconnect. They're training people for a job that don't really exist. When we looked around and met with the National Manufacturers Institute, their program, which is a nationwide program, literally overlaid right on top of what we were doing, which is basically market those good jobs to our kids in high school. And what we did was just partnered with them to add their branding and their nationwide campaign and their resources that they have, which are, it's kind of shared best practices is what it really boils down to. But it was able to kind of lay over a national brand on top of what we were already doing here. It gives them a little bit more credibility. Plus, it stretches from here to Beaumont as far as the area that they wanted to be, Southeast Texas. So, because Beaumont has so much manufacturing just like we do, especially in the petrochemical industry. So it's just some national backing. We don't really get a lot of funding from it, but they give us a lot of resources, materials, things like that. To help market the job.
So the residents here could contact them and they could contact your group.
Absolutely.
And you contact them and you could funnel them into different educational
programs. Absolutely. That's really the goal is to get the information out on the jobs that are available. And not just the jobs, but then what you have to do to be qualified to get those jobs.
Okay.
And that's what our presentation for our speakers bureau consists of about three things. One, we just talk to them an overview of the industry. Say, hey, this is what's, by the way, do you realize that this is what's in your hometown? And then two, we have the guys from the industry. We have operators and electrical technicians and welders. Well, and we try to get younger people so that they relate a little bit better. They'll talk about the jobs and what it's like to work in industry. And then we'll always have one of our colleges there with us to say, okay, if you want that job, it starts out at $80,000 a year. This is how to go about getting it. These are the degrees that we offer that get you right into that. So we give them the pathway to it before we leave. You know, we try and map them the pathway so that if they're really interested, they can go and do it. So.
Last question. Transportation, you mentioned some projects that they've identified. Anything to do with 225 or 146, not Seabrook?
Yes. Yeah. The not the Seabrook. The ones that are on the kind of the identified list to hopefully promote is an expansion on 146 where it narrows down from three lanes to two lanes, just south of, I think, Spencer.
Right.
and then it stays two lanes until, well, really, all the way. But eventually, that would be three lanes if Seabrook ever gets theirs. And so, actually, Mayor Rigby was the one that said, look, why do we funnel it all the way down? We don't give that third lane for trucks to get out of, you know, the left-hand lane where they're not able to drive, because when it narrows down to two, then they're driving in both lanes instead of giving that one free lane. So that expansion project from there down to the eventual Seabrook project is one that the mayors had identified and said, hey, we would like to see this project done and raise that up on the list. The other one on 146, which is since it also came up in the meetings, and Mayor Bechtel brought it up from Morgan's Point, was a potential fly out and fly in to Barber's Cut, similar to what they have at Bayport. Again, to help get those trucks off of the road as fast as they could. The port stepped up and said that they would fund a study to see if that was feasible, and that's what they're doing right now. They're basically running the traps to see if that's a feasible project, and if it is, then we're going to want to support that. The 225 project, and I don't know if you've driven 225 in between 5 and 6 o'clock, and you hit Beltway 8 there, I mean, it stops for almost an hour every day between, you know, and everybody's probably aware of the new bridge project that's funded, okay? Well, the one thing that is not funded on that bridge is fly up and fly down from 225 heading west, and heading west. So if you're heading towards Pasadena, Houston, from LaPorte or Shore Acres here, and you get there, the new project will not have the flyover, so you can just, you're still gonna have to go down, hit the light, take a right, or go down, hit the. So we said, okay, while it's still in the planning phases, you need to make sure that you put those flyovers in that project. And so that was really kind of the third of the three that hit this 225, 146 corridor. And if we can get all three of those done, that would be very helpful.
Yes, it would. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Chad, thank you for showing up tonight.
Appreciate it.
Not even asked and answered.
Thanks for coming, Chad, and appreciate the Gateway project years ago. Proud of that one.
Absolutely. Any questions from the public?
Mr. Burke, thank you for showing up. We greatly appreciate your time.
Appreciate it. And we're servants of y'all, so anything that y'all need from us, David's always got the help. David's got my number. Y'all get a hold of us at any time.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right.
Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. 4.1, regular council meeting September 28, 2015. The council's had time to review that. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Do we have a second?
A second.
Thank you, Alderman Snell. Any questions from the council on 4.1? If none being, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Ayes have it passed. Moving to 4.2, public hearings, October 5th, 2015. Council's had time to review that. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Alderman James, a second. Any questions from the council on item 4.2? None being, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? On item 4.3, special council meeting October 8th, 2015. The council's had time to review that. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Do we have a second?
Second.
James. Any questions to the council at this time? None being. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Ayes have it. Moving on to item 5.0, council reports and requests. 5.1, Mayor Moses. 5.1.1, status agreement with the city of LaPorte for the collection of heavy trash. At this time, the only information I can really put out at this moment is that the city is still working on it, but LaPorte, it is not something that's just died away to the side. They had to present it to their council. I know that their utilities director that handles over the trash department area is putting some numbers together. There were some concerns about some different questions they had. We got back to them, gave them the information they needed. So at this time, they're still working on that. We do not have anything set in stone with them as of yet. Hopefully, by the next council meeting, we'll have something to give the citizens some more meat and potatoes, too. Moving on to item 5.1.2, items of community interest. We're going to
I haven't talked to David about this yet. I'm sure we're going to put it on the website. I'll talk to David about this. But the citizens that live on Bayou Forest, this is for the citizens on Bayou Forest on the north end, the wall will be coming out in the next few weeks. I was told this a few days ago. Next few weeks is all I was told. No specific date. They will be pulling the complete wall out all the way down to put the aggregate on the back. Then they'll be bringing it back. And once they bring the wall back, they're going to do the whole from north to south will be put up. My understanding, they will have cut, trimmed, and leveled across the board. I can only hope that they do what they're saying to do. But however, we are going to notify the citizens on Bayou Forest that the wall is directly behind. We're going to put a flyer on their door just to give them a heads up. Once again, we do not have a specific date. They did not give that to me. They just said within the next few weeks. That's about as much as I could get out of TxDOT. So I'm figuring probably within the next week or so, we're going to see a lot of action out there. So for those citizens that have anything in their backyards they want to secure, now's the time to start doing that. That being said, I don't have anything else at this time, so I'm going to move on to item 5.2, council members, items of community interest. Generally, what I do at the end of the council meeting, I've been asking the council members if they had anything they want to add. Tonight, we move to this section. I'll remind the council members this is only about any type of parties or functions going on. They cannot talk about any business at all. So I'm going to start down with Mr. Wheeler this time at this end. Do you have anything you'd like to add on there tonight, sir?
No, sir.
Alderman Adams.
Just Bayou Forest residents are concerned about the wall being in the state that it is for so long. Thank you.
Understood, sir. Alderman Snell.
Okay. Negative.
Alderman Jenkins.
Nothing.
All right, moving on to item 6.0, public hearings, public comments. 6.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address the council or comment on items that appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law participating in discussions or discuss back and forth with the citizens on the agenda. With that being said, I'll start right here. Do you have anything you'd like to say about, sir? Your name and address, please, for me.
Right. Still Neil Moyer, North Country Club Drive. I'd like to apologize slightly for the sartorial debacle that I created here. But I'll continue on. Item 8.2 has been brought forward by Councilmember Wheeler. This would give some discussion and maybe a proposal on revised new fee structure for water rates and sewer rates. I think, as I understand, part of the intention is to start moving gradually at first, hopefully, maybe a little faster, from shifting funding from the general fund account to the utilities funds account. I think that's generally a good thing. It's been going on for a long time. I think the rate structure, however it's proposed, should be tiered and take into account the volume of service that the city is providing to both the water system and the sewer system. For other people, I need to remind that we send our sewerage across Highway 146, and while one could argue that we provide them a service by providing our biologics, which they can't produce themselves, nevertheless, it is a wastewater treatment facility, so they are charging us for that privilege of having our biologics help their digesters function. Over time, and maybe starting with this rate structure proposal, I'd like to see some money committed in the utility funds for capital improvements. I've talked about this before. By capital improvements, we're talking about addressing some of the infrastructure shortcomings that we have in both the water and sewage areas. We know that we have rainwater intrusion in some of the sewer lines when we have heavy rain. That's always a delightful visage to see that spouting up from some of the manhole covers. Similarly, we need to start moving ahead on a programmed basis for improving our water pipe, water plumbing system, get to those areas that have shown a history of deterioration, or you know, clamps that have been installed and such. So that's my recommendations. I hope you'll move forward tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
No one else at this time. We're going to move on to item 7.0. Middle Federal Report, 7.1. General Activity Report, City Administrator David Stahl.
Yeah, the only item I want to bring forward to council tonight is that we have received our recertification for our community rating system, which is our flood insurance program that we earn a discount. We are required every year to go through a recertification process. They send us a matrix of questions and document requests for us to produce documents and show training and inspections and various things, flood insurance approvals of applications and elevation certificates. Every year of the process, that they randomly, or not randomly, but randomly to us, select certain items to show, such as that we still employ a certified floodplain manager. We completed that process, and so we're good for another year, and the cycle will start all over again. But we're in good standing. That's all I had to report this evening.
Auditor Snell has a question. Go ahead.
Just for clarification, are we still at a 5% discount?
Yes, that's correct.
And I just also wanted to comment so that when y'all get, we just got our flood insurance bill, it's June the 20th. Don't be all excited about 5%, because even with 5%, ours went up over $200 this year. So just to let y'all know, it's not going to be like a big relief. So be seated and calm down before you open it. We were a bit surprised. That's all.
Moving on to item 7.2, about the police report, Chief Harrison.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. I'm sure you've had time to look this document over. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. If you don't, I'll bring your attention down towards the bottom. The warrant service last month in September, we made a concerted effort to try to go out and find people who aren't paying their traffic fines. We started in the zip code 77571 only. We had over 72 attempts to serve, and that's going out knocking on doors. It's not counting the phone calls we made. And out of that, we did pretty good. We had 14 arrests, but I think we had many more that came in and started taking care of the business. So that's a good thing that we were able to do last month. Another good thing that happened last month, I seem to stand up here and praise Sergeant Thompson every month. We had a theft reported to us last month from a citizen here. And even though the money amount of the theft wasn't that much, it was just over $1,500. The jewelry and things removed from the house was kind of extreme sentimental value to the people. And I normally do the follow-ups on these, but that day I'm getting ready for a CJIS audit, which is taking most of my time right now. I gave that to Sergeant Thompson. Within 4 hours, he'd recovered all the property at local pawn shops. We have a new friend in that citizen, I can promise you that. That citizen was able to come in today with the district attorney's office approval. We was able to return all that jewelry back to him. That's not the crime of the century, I know that, but to that citizen, that was a big deal, I promise you. Another good positive thing, our training goes in cycles and units as law enforcement officers. I'm proud to say training is one of the things that was my biggest concern when I took over as chief. And as of today, our new training cycle started September the 1st. And as of today, we've completed all the required training for the next 2 years. Every officer in the department, we've got the legal updates, we've got the hours. And that's a big deal. Those legal updates need to be at the beginning, not the end. After you miss 2 years of what's new, it doesn't do you much good. The open carry is going to be a nightmare, I'm going to tell you right now. I've taken two classes on it so far, and it seems like the main thing I got out of both classes, one taught by a defense attorney firm, another taught by prosecutors, and actually a third actually taught by CLEAT, all said that legislators are leaving this up to law enforcement to decide what we're going to do. And that's not good, because there's going to be a lot of mistakes made. So we'll do it. We'll do it professional. We'll do it the best we can. I'd like to thank everybody, council and citizens alike, for coming out to National Night Out. This was kind of the first year the police department had taken responsibility off Mr. Washington. I think he appreciated that, even though he did come to to cook hot dogs, and we had a good turnout. We fingerprinted children in the police department. We fingerprinted 35. I didn't expect that many, but I was thankful that that many people brought their children over and they were fingerprinted. And it's kind of a public service announcement. I'd like to tell you that Saturday there's going to be a toy run coming through the city with motorcycles. I don't remember which one it is, but it will happen around 9:45, 10 o'clock in the morning. And then on Sunday, there's a bike around the bay coming through. That one will come down Choke Road, come into Shore Acres, and go northbound on Shore Acres Boulevard. They've got solo motorcycle officers accompany them. We really don't have any responsibility. They're taking care of it, but our citizens, if you see a bunch of bikes, please beware.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from the council, starting with the literature?
No, sir.
Alderman Adams?
Can you briefly talk about the assault?
Which assault?
The one, number one on here.
The assault.
Is that still an active case?
I know you can't get details.
Yeah, we probably need to wait a while on that.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's okay. The lost, missing, recovered, and abducted, is that property or people?
You know, the way these are categorized, it's everything.
Okay.
We did not have anybody lost this month.
Okay.
Or last month. Thankful to say.
And then also the two violations of city ordinances. Do you happen to know off the top of your head what?
One was a loose dog, and one was tall grass.
Right.
And actually, there's probably some things in here that's miscategorized, because actually we looked at a lot more than I sent out. I don't have it on here, but I probably sent out 6 or 8 letters last month alone to people that had either debris or swimming pools, one swimming pool problem.
Thank you, Chief.
What about the two terroristic threats?
Well, one of those was carried, an incident at Circle Park was carried as a terroristic threat. This was an incident where football practice was taking place, about 200 children over there, about 100 parents, and a subject showed up that I don't know what substance he was on. He was on something other than alcohol, and he was literally climbing the fence when I got there. And he was arrested, and because he had said some things he had said, we filed terroristic threat on him.
All right, then the other question I have is, next spring, will we participate in Operation Roundup with Harris County with our warrants? Or is that just a huge hassle?
Well, it's not that it's a huge hassle. We don't have any one person to commit to that for the time that they do it. We were fortunate in what we've done with the warrant Roundup so far, is because it just turned out, by luck of the draw, that the sergeant, myself, an officer in reserve were on a few days last month together. That put 4 of us on days, and at that time there was, you know, no reason to not have one person committed to warrants. We don't get that opportunity very often, just the way the month worked out with our reserves.
And the last question I have you is, I know it's far-fetched, but how far-fetched is it possible for the city of Shore Acres to have a Citizens Police Academy in the near future?
I want to do that. I'd like to do that. I'll remind you, we have 6 of us here, so that requires me working shifts quite often. And I just haven't had time. I've got the curriculum. I've got everything done except for pretty much making it happen. And I did not want to start it in the fall with the holidays coming up. So after the first of the year, it's something I hope to do.
Okay.
Is that something a retired police officer could do?
Yeah, if you won't give us any professional advice during the meetings.
Thank you, Chief. Have a good evening, sir. Appreciate it. Number 7.3, monthly public works report. Mr. Stahl.
Steve, the written report in your packet. I would note that it says we had 5 water breaks or leaks, and 4 of those were on main lines. The good news is we've been moving to smaller and smaller lines, and none of those were larger than a 2-inch. Our new standard mainline minimum size is 3-inch, so that tells you it's the older lines and small lines, and those were not significant leaks. We've also been pushing hard on the boom mooring. We mowed about 10 miles of dish lines last month, and we haven't quite caught up on things like painting the fire hydrants that we had tested about a year ago. But we did get all of the new no parking signs on Miramar up and the old ones down. And that's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. Any questions from the council for Mr. Stahl? None being legal on item 8.0 business, 8.1 consideration approval of paid invoices. If the council's had time to review that, I'll entertain a motion.
Take a motion to pay.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. You have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Any questions from council? And none being, all those approved?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.2, consideration approval of ordinance number 2015-186, amending the city code relating to rates and changes for water and sewer services. Alderman Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And before I go on, I want to apologize in advance because I have not had a lot of time to study over this presentation, so I'm apt to stumble along the way. Please forgive me. You have some information in your packet. This proposal actually stems from conversations, negotiations that we had during our budget workshops. We went line by line. We worked the budget over. We did the best we can. The bottom line is our utility fund is in the hole over $300,000. It has been that way every year since probably Ike or maybe before. We haven't had significant rate increases to cover that cost. If you'll notice, there's a pie chart in your packet. I had Mr. Stahl pull this up. It's all in black and white in your packet, but we did print out some color. One of the citizens in our last council meeting made mention of the fact that she felt like that our police department was a sacred cow and that they get the lion's share of the budget, which is true. They do get the lion's share, and if you'll notice, we lumped in the police, fire, and EMS. We'll call that emergency services, okay? Over $985,000 in our budget goes to this, okay? That is a large, large chunk of money. If you'll notice, the rest of our operating budget, save the $316,000 that goes to our utility fund, which only covers half of the cost of the fund, is to operate the rest of the city, $420,000+. That operates everything else in the city. When you talk about cutting budget, that's what you're left with, folks. That's all you have to work with. We still have a city to run. We can't do it. It doesn't come for free. My proposal is to try and legitimize the amount of money that goes into our utility funds, and the rate proposal that I have shows the current rate that we have. And the other two blocks is a recommendation, and the last line item is what it would cost for our utility fund to become totally self-sufficient. In other words, it would basically pay for itself. My recommendation, it will not, in fact, pay for itself, but what we will do is we'll make a significant dent in the deficit. Our projected loss this year, if we leave our current rates, is $302,859. If we adopt this rate plan, our annual loss will only be $186,342, which is about half of the deficit we have now. We are actually, the proposal is not to change the sewer rates. It is a tiered rate plan, if you'll notice, and the difference that the average resident would see based on the three-tier proposal that we have would be between $13 and $19, almost $20 for the average If you're a high rate user, it would push up close to $30. But the bottom line is it would make a huge dent in our utility fund deficit. And so I brought this to the council to look over, to discuss, and hopefully to adopt Ordinance 2015-187.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. Let's start down at the opposite end. Alderman James, questions?
We need a motion first.
All right. We'll have to ask for a motion. Do we have a motion on the floor?
I'll make a motion when we adopt Ordinance 2015-187.
Thank you, sir. We have a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Now, we'll start down there, Mr. Jennings. Thank you, by the way. Alderman James, do you have a question?
Well, the one we got in our packet was blank. This one has rates in it, so that's a little confusing. But that's okay. I understand what we talked about. I tend to agree with Mr. Wheeler, obviously. I don't think that we did enough to cut, but we couldn't have cut $40 anyway. So, yeah, I'll go along with it.
On the call. I have no questions.
I've got several questions and some points I'd like council to think about. First of all, we're still in negotiation with the heavy trash negotiation with the city of LaPorte, and most likely we're going to have to charge citizens additional fees to get that service from them. I believe that was something that we discussed also in the budget workshop. I don't know if we should maybe put this off until we see if and how much that's going to cost citizens, especially on top of the fact that council just voted in 7.9% tax increase on folks. I think it may be a little bit all at once, especially since we don't have any hard and fast numbers from the city of LaPorte, if indeed. Because I would hate to see us do this and then next month or beginning of the year, in order to get the heavy trash collection taken care of by the city of LaPorte, to then again slap people with more increases. That's what I thought.
Thank you.
Obviously, nobody wants to have an increase in their rates, but I think this has been a long time coming and needs to happen. And I know it's a double increase, but I think we need to get there and start making this happen. So I agree with it.
Mr. Mayor, may I make one comment?
Yes, sir. You sure?
Ms. Snell said, didn't we put $40,000 in the budget for heavy trash collection?
Something like that, but without knowing.
I get your point, but yeah. We do have money allotted for
we heavy do, trash. We do, but we're not sure if that's going to be enough to cover it, because we haven't heard a number yet. We kept hoping to hear from LaPorte during the budgeting process, but we have not as of yet.
Which question is that correct? Although I don't get a vote because there's not a tiebreaker here, I have to say I agree with all my leaders. So there's a motion on the floor. So all those approval for ordinance number 2015-186, amending the city code relating to rates and changes.
Just for clarification, it's 187.
Yeah, I was going to make that point of information.
And there's enough notice on there because it talks about what it is. So if someone will just say it's 187 and not 187.
I'll repeat that. Thank you for the correction. Thank you for our city attorney. Same on consideration approval of ordinance number 2015-187, amending the city code relating to rates and charges for the water and sewer services. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against?
Against.
The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.3. Discussion, consideration, action to cancel the December 28th, 2015 City Council meeting. Mayor Moses, I brought this up. I know that during the month of December, a lot of people leave town, go on vacation, grandchildren, and whatnot. So what we're looking at is trying to move one around here a little bit from the December 14th, as you see on the next one down. So with that being said, I'll entertain a motion.
I make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler.
Second.
All right. Now, counsel, any questions on this? If none being, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against?
Nay.
The ayes have it. Mr. James. Alderman James. Move on to item 8.4. Discussion, consideration, action to reschedule the December 14th, 2015 regular city council meeting to be held on December 7th, 2015. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. And a second.
Second.
Any discussion for the council on there? Self-explanatory. On the December again. Questions?
We have a conflict on December 14th.
We were trying to stretch what we were trying to do is the month of December, people always go on vacation with kids. I was just trying to make it for people to go, instead of trying to work this around, because I know I've had to reschedule myself numerous times. So I thought the month of December, I'd try to give us a little leeway there.
No further questions.
All right, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Against?
Nay.
Against.
The ayes have it. Moving on to item 8.5. Discussion, consideration, possible action regarding the city process and procedure used to adopt the 2015 tax rate. Alderman Snell.
I put this on here, and thank you for being here this evening. I know there was quite a bit of confusion on last Thursday's meeting to adopt a tax rate. On the October 14th meeting, City Council voted for a 0.826745 tax rate, which is an effective 8%. That's what council voted on, the proposed tax rate. The proposed, it's not binding, but that is what needed to be brought to council again for us to take action or not on, is my understanding. And that council could legally vote for any tax rate less than that, but not more. And all of that would be fine and dandy. And the 8.0%, that 8.26745% that tax rate that council voted on is a triggering event. That would mandate that the city have what's called a rollback election, which means it goes to the citizens for a vote, if that had been the adopted tax rate that council said yes to take. What ended up happening during that meeting, and I know it concerned, we went on for a long time of discussion, tried to get in touch with the city attorney, because what was handed to council in the form of an ordinance stated that it would be a 0.826000 tax rate. Now, what was published in the newspaper, which was legally required, was the 826745. What we had hearings about was the 826745. Nothing about 8.860000. And I mean, none of us had seen that number. It was kind of like, where did this come from? And so there was some question as to the legality of that being given to council as is, instead of what's the point of having a council vote on anything if it's just going to be handed to us in a different way. And I know that it was a concern for me because it was not what council did agree on. Instead of trusting us to, you know, and then giving us the information, this is going to cause an election, which is going to cost the city money, et cetera. But just to supersede that input and give us the 0.8600, I wasn't sure if it was legal, first of all. I felt it was disrespectful to council and the citizens that elected us to not even entrust us to make the wise decision that we'd already voted on that number. And I'd like to hear it from you, but I did talk to Texas Municipal League. I wanted to make sure we didn't do anything really stupid while we still had some time to correct it. So I did speak with them on Friday, and they advised me that, you know, what happened was legal, but that it was a personnel issue. And they went into a little bit of detail, and we can't discuss personnel issues in here. We called for an executive session, and that's coming up. But I wanted to hear what you
Sure. This is our city attorney, Chris Craig. He is here along with his father at their attorney firm. Basically, he's our city attorney. I requested him to be here tonight for the showing that we had the other night, which I'm not going to get into this time. Needless to say, what I wanted to do is have it come straight from the attorney who deals with TML and handles the city business, so we can explain exactly what happened, where the rights were, and where they're in or out. With that being said, thank you, Mr. Craig.
Sure.
You want to go right ahead, sir?
Sure. We got the call about the council meeting late that night. I apologize for not responding, but that was good for war that night. But be that as it may, you are correct. It was legal. The ordinance that y'all passed was legal. It is effective. It is binding. Your tax rate has been adopted. What happened in September when you voted was a proposed tax rate. It was a projected tax rate. That wasn't the actual adopted rate. And you are correct that the publications that were posted, the required two public hearings, did publish the 0.26745. And what did, obviously, the ordinance that came before you on October the 8th was less than 8.6745. It was 0.826000. But y'all could have, if council would have denied that ordinance, you could have gone back to 8.6745. You could have even gone lower than 8.6000. When you look at the tax rate, there's two components of the tax rate. You have the debt service and you have the maintenance and operation. Those are the two that formulate the 8.26000. In this city, as what was published, you do not have a debt service. You are just looking at maintenance and operation. Through the tax code, had there been a debt service, it could have been a little different issue. Because what you do post with regard to debt service is typically what is going to be voted on at the end, but that's because it's fixed. You know what it is. You know what your debt is. You know what your principal and interest obligation is. So typically that is going to be a fixed number you're going to know. Maintenance and operation is going to fluctuate because you don't know at the time when you pass your budget exactly what that tax rate is going to be, because what's it going to take to get what you're going to need. With regard to maintenance operation, and that's what we're talking about here, because that's what y'all have, you do not have debt service, you can pass a lower maintenance and operation rate than what was proposed. As simple as that. So what came before you being a little less, it was legal. It could have been denied, but it was passed. I highly recommend you do not do anything tonight because you have finality to what you did on October 8th.
Would you tend to agree with, I spoke with Laura at TML, that it is more of a personnel issue? When council did vote for that proposed number,
mm-hmm.
is that in any way, shape, form binding to be sent back to council, though?
It's not binding to be sent. It makes a threshold. You can't exceed that number that you're talking about that you published. You can go under it. So it's not binding.
Okay.
It obviously has an effect on, if you were going to exceed that, you're going to have to go even into additional hearings for the public because you got to give them notice.
Okay, but it's not considered to be a directive at all?
It is not. Okay. It is not.
All right.
And I guess my point is the ordinance that came to you on October the 8th was not legal. Okay. It was because of the fact that.
Okay.
And we're only talking about maintenance operation.
I'm going to start with questions now. From the left, Alderman Jennings, any questions?
Oh, sure, Mr. Gray.
Sure.
Tax code, okay, you just mentioned the ordinance as being legal.
Correct.
Now, there are specific requirements for wording in that ordinance in Tax Code 2605, as I'm sure you know. For the motion to approve the tax rate and for the ordinance itself, and also for wording on the city's website.
Yes,
in favor of the website. And you just said in your professional opinion that our ordinance is legal.
I believe it is.
Okay. Can you explain why it doesn't have the wording required by the Texas Code 2605? Here's the actual ordinance we passed.
Okay. reply would be that it does give the public enough notice as per the code what you are fixing. The rate you are fixing, the valuation of the taxable property and real property, what your tax rate is, you know, the amount of plot.
Okay, can I read the tax code 2605B1? It says, include in the ordinance, resolution, or order in type larger than type used in any other portion of the document the following statement. This tax rate will raise more taxes for maintenance and operation than last year's rate. That, I cannot find that anywhere in there. But you're saying that it doesn't matter?
Give me one second.
And the next portion of that.
You're accurate. I don't see that.
And the next portion of that, B, if the tax rate exceeds the effective maintenance operations rate, which we know it did because that was 765505, the following statement must be included. The tax rate will effectively be raised by insert percentage by which the tax rate exceeds the effective maintenance operations rate percent and will raise taxes for maintenance operations on a $100,000 home approximately blank. I cannot find that in there.
That is accurate.
So you're saying that the ordinance is legal?
I do not see that.
But you're saying that regardless the ordinance is legal?
Now, based on this language, I would amend it to put in the quote express language required by the tax code. I do agree.
Okay. And what about the only motion itself made? if we're, you know, there's specific language required on the motion itself, and the language used for the motion did not follow the law. So was the motion valid?
What was the motion? Motion.
I don't have that written out. Mr. Stahl can play the recording starting at about the 30-minute mark if you choose. But basically it says, Mr. Wheeler said, I propose that we adopt Ordinance 186 at the tax rate of 8.26000. That's paraphrasing. Okay. And the tax code 2605B says, we must include this language. I move that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of a tax rate of blank, which is effectively a blank percentage increase in the tax rate. And that did not happen.
If that did not happen, I agree. Then you'd have.
Okay. What is the remedy?
The remedy is to probably out of an abundance of caution, I would republish the two required public hearings and hold another public hearing after those two are concluded to pass the ordinance with the express language that's in the tax code.
So the correction is basically rephasing doing everything all over again, which would put us in the rollback area.
Well, we have until October the 25th.
Correct.
To set the rate. I talked to Harris County Appraisal District today.
I'm sure you did.
That's correct.
And doesn't the law also say that if we don't have it set by the 25th, it automatically defaults to stay the same?
Yeah, we'll have it done by the 25th.
Yeah. It's the lower of the effective rate of last year's tax rate.
Right.
Whichever's lower.
All in the room.
Is this like for closing remarks now?
No, it's questions on this, sir.
No questions for him.
All this now.
I'm good.
Any closing comments, Alderman Jennings? I'm going to start down over you.
No.
Alderman McComb.
Would you repeat what you said? I'm sorry.
Any closing comments? The meeting's over.
Yes, I have a closing comment, but it's going to be very off this subject matter, just a little bit. First of all, to the...
No, it needs to be on the subject matter.
That's okay, right. Negative. Then I don't.
Alderman Snell.
So is there a proposal being made here?
So we got to meet again.
We'll have to meet again.
But the other meeting.
Yeah, I've got the process.
Yes.
We'll publish and post, and we'll so just be on the next agenda.
Redraft it.
It'll be on the next agenda
to be considered by council.
I want to thank you very much for coming out tonight, taking up your family time. We greatly appreciate it, sir. I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 8:01. Thank you.